Welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Odyssey Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. That's Chris Biederman, who covers the 49ers among a bunch of other things for a prominent newspaper in California State Capitol. And we are going to dive into some make or break, some players facing make or break training camps. We're recording this July 20th, so less than a week to go into the 49ers open camp. Exciting times on the NFL calendar and exciting times to be podcasting. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Before we do all that, though, a big shout out to our friends at Lamb Chops. SGLambChops.com is the website. They're the official clothing brand of this podcast. SGLambChops.com. Use promo code Candlestick20 when you check out for 20% off your order today. All right, let's get to players facing make or break training camps for the 49ers. Here we go.
Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Hey, before we get started here, have you followed this Ryan Clark story at all?
I've seen the tweets. I saw that he is no longer going to be part of ESPN's network going forward. And apparently he found out while he was on NFL Live today. Is that correct?
Yeah, dude. So they were planning on telling him tomorrow, but everybody in the sports media reporting world, like the people who report on sports media, the Andrew Marchands and the Brian Curtises of the world, already like knew. And a bunch of people started calling ESPN for comment about Ryan Clark getting let go. And ESPN, not wanting him to find out through some leaked report, pulled him off of NFL Live at a break and fired him, or let him know that he was being let go.
Did he finish the show?
No.
I probably wouldn't either.
Well, yeah. I mean, I for sure wouldn't. If Senor Odyssey got on the phone right now and was like, "Hey, Kyle, this is your last podcast," I'd be like, "All right, I'm all done."
Wow, that's wild. That's wild. I could see Ryan Clark doing the pivot into
the pivot. Nice.
The Independent. Is that the name of his podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. That was not intentional. I could see.
I could also see him doing the pivot.
Yeah, like the Chris Long thing. Retired athlete X hosting their own show and competing with us in this space. I think that's probably what's next for him.
Well, I mean, competing with us, air quotes.
Right. Right.
I'm confident our 49ers podcast is better than Ryan Clark's.
Sure.
I think there's enough like networks that are carrying games now that need analysts that someone will scoop him up, 'cause he's a good analyst. I think Ryan Clark is good at what he does. I think sometimes ESPN stuffs people into these boxes where it's like, you have to have a take, like something has to be hot takey. And I think that Ryan Clark falls into that a little bit sometimes, but overall, I think he's a good analyst, and Netflix or Amazon or somebody would be lucky to have him.
Oh yeah. Netflix is going to be needing guys behind the desk for these like Friday games and Wednesday games and all these random games that they're going to have. So yeah, Ryan Clark's good enough to not be unemployed for long, if at all.
ESPN decided that it was a make or break show for Ryan Clark, and he didn't make it. And we're going to get into some make or break training camps coming up for 49ers players. We have three players, and some of them are guys that we talked about as breakout candidates. But I think that dovetails into this conversation where some of these guys, like if they're not breaking out, then that might just kind of be it. And I think there's a few different ways we can look at make or break, and we'll talk about those differences here in a bit. So let's start at the top of your list, because I want to get into not only this player, but just kind of the different make or breaks, the different levels to that. So why don't you talk about your first guy?
Yeah, I think a guy that is going to get a lot of attention throughout training camp and the preseason is going to be Ricky Pearsall. And this isn't that like Ricky Pearsall needs to perform well in training camp or he's in danger of getting cut. Right. It's like for Ricky Pearsall to have the season he wants to have and parlay that season into a lucrative contract extension in the spring, it's going to take like what Brandon Ayuk had in 2022 and 2023, right? Like it was like him establishing himself like, okay, this is a 1,000-yard Pro Bowl type receiver. He's going to be really productive, even in an offense loaded with weapons like, you know, Mike Evans, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, et cetera. Like, so for Pearsall to have that season, like, I don't envision Pearsall having that type of season and like missing all of training camp with a hamstring injury, right? Like, I think the scenario in which Pearsall has that season includes looking awesome in training camp, which is what Brandon Ayuk did, particularly before 2023. Like, if you watch the training camp practice in 2023, when Brandon Ayuk really took a step and was an all-pro that season when the Niners went to the Super Bowl, you watch practice and you're like, Brandon Ayuk is a dude out there. Like, there is no question about it. You watch Brandon Ayuk practice. He's making plays all over the field. Like, he looks like a guy. And there is a very real correlation between like being a dude in training camp in the limited reps that you have as a starter and having a good season. So from that standpoint, for Ricky Pearsall to take the step to get like a $25 million a year contract next spring, which I think he's talented enough to do, having that season starts with a really good training camp. But I think there's a chance too that, you know, Pearsall has a knee or a hamstring or an ankle or something. And then it's like, all right, Ricky Pearsall might not practice for 3 weeks. He's, you know, he's going to suit up for the final preseason game, but maybe get a series. But, you know, they're really going to try to just keep him on ice for the start of the regular season. Like, if it's that scenario, you don't feel great about Ricky Pearsall taking that leap. So that's why I'm putting the spotlight on him in training camp.
Yeah, man. My first one's going to be along these same lines in terms of it's not break, like their career is going to be over, but it's make or break for me in terms of whether Pearsall is ever going to reach that ceiling. Yeah. And the interesting thing with him is that I don't know that it's talent based.
It's not. He's super talented.
Yeah. If you told me that Ricky Pearsall is going to give me 16 games, I think he would play well enough in those 16 games to earn that sizable paycheck this offseason. And whether the 49ers would give it to him, I'm not sure. Because of the injury stuff, they may want another year, and they do have the fifth year option to work with as well. So I don't know if the Niners would do it, but if you're telling me you're getting 15, 16, 17 games of Ricky Pearsall, I think you're looking at 1,000+ yards. And I think you're looking at a player that has that quote unquote kind of breakout campaign. But if he's giving you another season where he's 9-10 games and he's productive here, but when he came back from the injury, wasn't great. I just have a really hard time banking on him ever being that guy. And that's what it really comes down to for me with him.
Agreed.
All right. My first player in the same boat.
Same boat.
Malik Mustafa. Same boat, other side of the ball. And I had him as a breakout candidate. And I think this is the year where is Malik Mustafa going to be a difference maker defensively, or is he just a guy? And I think with the upgrades on the defensive line, I think with ideally would be the upgrades at linebacker with Dre Greenlaw there and perhaps an upgrade at Sam linebacker if Luke Gifford's not going to hold down that spot. I think this is a real opportunity. And if Marquis Siegel is playing next to Malik Mustafa and being a little bit rangier, which gives Malik Mustafa less responsibility in the back end of the secondary, I kind of think it's like primed for him to be awesome. And I think he can be. I don't have the same amount of confidence that I do with Pearsall, but I think Malik Mustafa has a lot of skills that could really translate into him being a dominant player as like a box safety. And if it's not this year, if it's still a ton of missed tackles, if it's still he's shaky here and there in coverage, then I'm just not sure we're ever going to get there. But if this is a season where he has a Pro Bowl caliber season, I think we're going to see it's kind of the best is yet to come for him in that respect.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think safety is one of those positions on defense where you can benefit so much from your supporting cast. And like, if everyone else is doing their job at a really high level, and you don't have to compensate for other people's mistakes, blown coverages, whatever it is, missed tackles, then you can just kind of like, I don't want to say freestyle, but like you can kind of like just do your own thing and make plays.
Yep.
If you're not super, like if you're super concerned that your corners are going to get blown by, or your, you know, your linebackers aren't going to be able to cover tight ends or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and that's in the back of your mind, you're not going to be playing free enough to just like go make plays.
Right.
And I think Malik Mustafa is talented enough to where if he's in a scenario where he isn't trying to compensate for other guys around him and he can just make plays, I think he could be like, he could have a Talanoa Hufanga, you know, all pro season like type impact. I don't know if he's like the rising tide that lifts all boats, but I think if he's surrounded by a bunch of dudes and they're all playing well within the system, then I think like he's the type of player who could really benefit from that and make some splash plays. So yeah, I'm with you. Like, I feel like there's a wide range of outcomes for Mustafa. I feel like, man, defense is awesome and Mustafa's out here making plays. Or it could be, man, the defense is really banged up. They're really struggling to learn Raheem Morris's system, and Malik Mustafa is missing a bunch of tackles all over the place, right? Like,
I could see
both scenarios. So he's one of those like super high variance players for me going into the year.
Yeah, variance is the right word. I think his ceiling is really high, like Pearsall, but I also think Pearsall's floor is pretty dramatically higher as well.
If he's
playing. Who's next on your list?
I'm going with Daryl Luter. going way down the depth chart here.
no, but this is good because this is the type of make or break training camp where if Luter's not standing out in any meaningful way, he's not on the roster.
Yeah. So last year, Daryl Luter broke training camp as kind of during final cuts. We looked around, we were like, wait, Daryl Luter's the third cornerback?
Yeah.
And he was, and I thought it would be, you know, like it didn't really feel like it was a huge problem that Daryl Luter was their third cornerback throughout the year. Like it wasn't one of those scenarios where that we've seen happen with the 49ers quite a bit where it's like, this guy's your third cornerback. You really don't have any depth there. Man, if you have an injury, like you're really going to be in a bad spot. Renardo Green and Diamador Lenore played enough to where it didn't really feel like a problem. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about a team now, one with a new defensive coordinator in Raheem Morris, who has experience in the secondary, who brought in a bunch of guys. They brought in Nate Hobbs. They brought in Jack Jones. They brought in Ephesians Prysock, the rookie, who I think is actually pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. And all that to me screams like they're not coming into this with really any idea that like Daryl Luter is entrenched in any sort of role.
You're saying he's not a lock.
Yeah. So given the changing circumstances around him, this all sort of points to Daryl Luter kind of being on the bubble for sure and needing to establish himself and impress the new coach and, you know, like play well in the preseason and then these joint practices to stick around.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I think this is a great one. If he's not standing out, if he's not in the, our guy Nick Wagner, our favorite cast member who covers the 49ers for ESPN and does a great job, does really, really excellent detailed training camp breakdowns after every practice on Twitter, allegedly X. And this is one of those things where, again, and as much as I love Nick, he can't see or notice every single little thing. But if Daryl Luter is not making his way into those recaps once or twice, like not even a splash play here or got to run with the first team there, like those kind of things, I think it's over. I think he's a veteran fighting uphill to retain a roster spot, and he's gonna have to really stand out to keep it.
Yeah. Who's next for you?
Next up for me, I also meant to ask this when I was talking about Malik Mustafa, because I initially had Jair Brown on this list, but it feels like Jair Brown's year was last year. Jair Brown's like make or break. Yeah, I think I know who Jair Brown is now.
So are you saying last year broke him?
Yeah.
Didn't make him.
No, it did not make him. Okay. Definitely more broke than made.
Yeah. We haven't talked about Ashton Davis a lot.
We've
talked about the safeties the last couple episodes, and we haven't talked about Ashton Davis. Are we sure that, like,
I love when you start a sentence like that.
Are we sure the first practice of 11-11s is, and it's like, are we certain Ashton Davis isn't going to be a starter in the first training camp practice in 11-on-11s?
I'm not certain anybody's going to be alive for that training camp practice. So, sure. No, we're not. I don't think the 49ers have enough certainty at safety to say, yes, we're very sure. But there's not a lot of evidence that Ashton Davis is great at football. And we're 6 years in now, 5 years in, 6 years in, 6 years in now. So, yeah, I'd be a little bit surprised, short of stunned, but definitely north of surprised if Ashton Davis is getting the first team reps over Marquis Siegel or Jair Brown.
Let me put it this way. Is Ashton Davis coming to the 49ers if he thinks he doesn't have a chance to start?
Yeah, I don't know why he wouldn't.
Started 12 games last year.
Yeah.
For the Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
Not a great defense, if memory serves. A little banged up. But
yeah, he's also 30. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He turns 30 on October 10th.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was the
year 30 season.
Before the year before that for the Jets, it looks like he started one game.
Started 10 games in 2021.
That was so long ago, man.
No, I know.
I don't know that Ashton Davis was promised a starting job or anything.
Oh, I don't think he was promised anything, but like,
but yeah, the way I look at this signing, go ahead.
What was the name of the, I always forget his name, the name of the safety who came in 2023 and like made the team, and we're like, wait, this dude's starting, and he like starred in the Super Bowl, old guy, super experienced.
Logan Ryan.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he started at nickel corner for the 49ers in the Super Bowl against the fucking Chiefs. Unbelievable. Unreal.
I just want to point out, we haven't talked about Ashton Davis. I don't want to be caught completely off guard if it's like week one and it's like, actually, Ashton Davis is starting.
So that's less about Ashton Davis, and I think this is the point you're making. It's less about Ashton Davis and more about the lack of depth in the 49er safety room, or the lack of certainty.
Yeah.
In the 49er safety room. And to that point, remember how Tayshaun Gibson made the team? Where they just needed a body in week three of the preseason, and then he just made the team and started a bunch of games.
I think that might have been who I was talking about, not Logan Ryan.
Oh, okay.
But I think those are easily, you can mix those guys up.
Yeah. Gip, Logan Ryan, tomato, tomato. Okay. Anyways, I'm done talking about the 49er safeties. Next up, Isaac Arendo. What are we doing here? Very obviously, the 49ers don't believe in him because they drafted a running back last year, and then Isaac Arendo didn't play an offensive snap last year, and then they drafted another running back even earlier this year. It's pretty clear to me, if you're penciling in a training camp depth chart, that Isaac Arendo is probably fourth on that depth chart right now behind McCaffrey and Jordan James and Kalen Black. But I still don't think that it's I think there are going to be opportunities for somebody to break through and be the RB2. And I think Isaac Arendo showed enough as a rookie that I'm at least interested, or I'm less interested now than I was going into last offseason, but maybe he's just fully fallen off. Like he's all the way done and he's going to get cut so Patrick Taylor can be on the team and cover punts. But, if you came from the future and said, yeah, Isaac Arendo stayed healthy and just kind of tore it up in training camp and wound up being the RB2, I wouldn't be like on the ground. I wouldn't be totally floored.
If I traveled in time and came back and delivered to you, dude, I'm coming back from 8 months. I got this Isaac Guerrero thing you got to hear about.
I love the idea that you, Chris, because I'm assuming if you're doing this, you've discovered time travel.
Right.
That's it. Right. You discovered time travel, and the first thing you think is like, holy shit.
Dude, I got to tell you what Isaac Guerrero's season ended up being, man.
You're never going to believe this. I'm like, what happened? Is it something geopolitical thing? Is it
did somebody get nuked?
Gas prices? Nah, like, man. What happened?
Isaac Guerrero, 80 carries. He even started a couple games.
Isaac Guerrero, full blown Brian Robinson role. Isaac Guerrero, more juice than Brian Robinson.
I mean, he should. So Guerrero is, it's pretty interesting because sometimes guys can just like fall out of favor, and like it can be an injury, and then it can be you get passed up by other guys who are playing well in practice, which is seems like what happened with Jordan James. And then obviously they draft Kalen Black, who by all accounts, it seems like is going to be somebody that like the coaches love, mm-hmm. right? Like it's so like, yeah, I'm with you. I kind of think last year might've broken. You talk about make or break. I think last year might have broke Guerrero from that standpoint. Not that he's like a broken person or a broken player. That sounds a little,
no, it's his career.
Right. Like it's not great. When after your first season they draft a running back, and then after your second season they draft another running back, and you don't get any playing time. Yep. And when they trade for Brian Robinson Jr. before the season starts, because was Guerrero hurt in training camp last year?
Yeah, and then came back to cover a punt and got hurt immediately. This hasn't been able to stay healthy.
I'm with you. I honestly would be surprised if Isaac Guerrero is on the squad.
If you figure out time travel, you come back and let me know.
I'll let you know.
Before we move on. Do you know who's not in a make or break year right now?
Who's that?
Oh, you nailed it. Our friends at Lamb Chops.
Nice.
Why don't you talk to me about those shorts?
Yeah, I'm not wearing the shorts that are on the screen for our YouTube viewers right now because I don't have them yet. Craig and Jordan, if you wanted to shoot those over, it would be much appreciated.
Yeah.
These are awesome, and I really would like a pair. But I am currently wearing a Lamb Chops shirt right now. They have the sort of the thicker ply, however you want to say it, the thicker denier, I think is the term, on the t-shirts, and it's super comfortable, particularly with the air conditioning blasting as it's 90 plus degrees outside in Sacramento as we're recording this. And I'm also wearing the Lamb Chops sweat shorts, just a staple. Like whenever they're clean, they're like one of the first things I grab. They're just so comfortable, and they have the zippered pockets and the drawstrings and the elastic waistband. Just like love every Lamb Chops item of clothing I have in the wardrobe, and I wear it basically every day. So shout out to them, sulambchops.com, promo code candlestick20 to save 20% off your order. And when you throw Candlestick in the search bar, you'll find the Candlestick Chronicles merch. We have t-shirts and matching hoodies. I should say on the t-shirts, I don't know if it's been pointed out, it's kind of like it's a red, but it's like a heather. There's like a little bit of a heather to the material. So it's not just like a solid red. If you look up close, it's got like a little bit of heather, a little bit of that like texture to it. And it's a great shirt, great hoodie. Obviously you're going to be wearing it a lot to Levi's for games this year. So check them out. sulambchops.com, promo code candlestick20. Lamb Chops, join the herd.
I forgot to reply to my mom's text message earlier, and I was hoping I could get this reply in before you were done. There we go.
I could go through other things. I'd report. No, on
yeah, no.
As you, I time traveled back from the future.
No. So far, make or break training camp: Ricky Pearsall, Darrell Luter, Malik Mustafa, Isaac Guerrero. Go ahead and finish up your list.
Yeah, I have Nick Martin. And it just kind of feels like the classic thing, like second year player, probably didn't live up to his draft status in year one, showed signs like in the preseason, and maybe on special teams a little bit. Like, this guy has the physical tools to potentially develop into a starting linebacker a la D Winters, right? Mm-hmm. But how does the new coaching staff feel about him? Does the fact that they brought in Dre Greenlaw signal anything about Nick Martin, or do they just like Dre Greenlaw so much that they just wanted to get him in the building, which I think is probably the case? But also, mm-hmm. if Nick Martin was like the surefire stud prospect, they're probably not bringing in Dre Greenlaw too. So
I have a take on that real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
If I may. I don't think it says anything about Nick Martin. I think the 49ers are maybe realizing that they need to have multiple good players at positions, particularly if Dre Greenlaw is going to be the guy you bring in, sure. where you can't bank on 17. You hope you get 17, but you need to have a contingency plan in place. And like I said, I think I said this on the last pod, that they traded D Winters, I think bodes well for how they feel about Nick Martin.
Yeah, and I anyway. Think that's possible. But it could also be that, like, Nick Martin really struggles, you know, Tatum Bethune passes him up, you know, like Jaden Duggar, mm-hmm. Luke Gifford, special teams favorite of our guy, Brant Boyer, assistant to the assistant GM. So, you know, like, I just think that Nick, it's a big training camp, I think, for Nick Martin. Like, I want to get a feel for how Raheem Morris feels about him in particular. Mm-hmm. And if he likes him to the point where, like, no, this is clearly our backup will linebacker, a special team stalwart. Like, this is, cause that's what Nick Martin should be as a third round pick 2 years ago.
There should. Yes. And Dre Greenlaw is going to get some veteran rest days, breaking news. And when he gets that day or two off, Nick Martin needs to be the guy running with the ones and not struggle. Like, he needs to play well in those moments. And that's, I think that's what this comes down to. And if he's not, like you said, if it's, oh, they're trying Tatum Bethune at will linebacker, or they're having Jaden Duggar play that spot, then I think Nick Martin could really be in trouble, because in the same way with a guy like Pearsall, and different levels to this, but like if Pearsall doesn't break out this year, you're like, man, is he ever going to? Whereas with Nick Martin, year two, you can't win the backup will linebacker spot. Like, that makes me fearful that you can ever be an effective defensive player in the NFL.
Right. And the whole thing for the Niners is like finding their next young core.
Yep.
Right. So like, They need a lot of these day two, day three picks to like become starters, become like mainstays.
Yeah, like a lot of these starters,
dudes. Yeah. And a lot of these dudes have question marks. Like, ultimately, my take on the Niners is aside from just can the stars stay healthy? Like, that's the most obvious thing. My take on the Niners generally is like, can any of their young players evolve into starters, to like really good starters, like Pro Bowl type mm-hmm. guys, like what Fred Warner became, what George Kittle became, like all these like non-first round draft picks who ended up becoming really good players. Can they develop any of these dudes in the wings to those heights? Because that's ultimately going to define how long their Super Bowl window remains open. And so like Nick Martin, Ricky Pearsall, you know, Alfred Collins, Mykel Williams, et cetera, like all of these guys are the types of players that the 49ers need to take leaps if they're going to continue to battle among the top teams in the NFC.
I just need them to find a player who can get a second contract.
Sure.
I guess so 2023, the 2023 draft was eligible for extensions this year. Nobody from that draft is getting a second contract to the 49ers. At least I'm not even going to caveat that. The 2022 draft, nobody on this group is Brock Purdy got a second contract to the 49ers. But outside of, like, you have to go, okay, Diomedur Lenore's there. He got one. There's just nobody. Brandon Ayuk, I guess, got one. Colton McKivitt's got one. But there's no, like, where's the next star coming from? Who's the guy that right now you look and you go, all right, well, hey, you got to earmark money for that guy. Because of Fred Warner, that was clear in the middle of year two. Nick Bosa, rookie year. Brandon Ayuk, rookie year. Debo Samuel, rookie year. Like, all these guys very early in their careers, like, oh God, hey, you're going to have to pay that guy. Brock Purdy, rookie year, then second year. It's like, oh, okay, you're going to have to pay this dude. And the fact that they just don't have anybody on the team right now that looks like that is tough.
Have they drafted, is the last all pro that they've drafted, was it Ayuk?
I feel like that's disrespectful to Talano Hufanga, but sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. So, but
to that point, Hufanga was the 2021 draft.
2021. Okay. And Ayuk was 2020.
Yes.
So it's been, we're going on 5 years since they've drafted a guy who ended up being an all pro.
Yeah. Everybody who has made an all pro team for the 49ers was drafted since 2021, was drafted in 2019 or earlier.
Yeah. And obviously Trent Williams, not drafted by the Niners, Christian McCaffrey, not drafted by the 49ers. 49ers took Solomon Thomas with Christian McCaffrey on the board.
Yeah, but then they wound up with Christian McCaffrey anyway, so who's really winning? They didn't even have to use a first-round pick to get him.
True.
It's called good business. Learn about it. My last one?
Yeah. Who you got?
The guy that we call on this podcast the nightmare.
The Tuesday guy?
Because defensive coordinators tossing and turning, figuring out how they're going to defend this guy. Jordan Watkins. And I say that because first of all, real quick, last year was Jacob Cowing's make or break, right? That he was like healthy from his shoulder injury and they just kept him on IR was it.
Yeah. I mean, he has a chance to be the punt returner / gadget guy. The Ray McLeod Redux, maybe.
I don't want to put those kind of expectations on him, but sure. Like, if that's
sure.
No, but in all seriousness, with Jordan Watkins, I was writing about the 49ers receivers today at NinersWire.com. Not to brag. And we can Evans, Pearsall, Stribling. I'm penciling in Christian Kirk for now, although I have a weird thing that I'm not totally sure he's guaranteed a roster spot. But I've got four receivers there. And then if they keep five, that leaves one spot open. And I think that may go to a guy like DeMarcus Robinson, who I'm also not totally certain is guaranteed to make a roster spot. But I think there's a real chance that Jordan Watkins is like fighting for the last receiver spot. And if you're battling for a roster spot going into your second year and there's no real path to playing time, I have a hard time believing that we're ever going to see him become any meaningful part of the 49ers offense.
I'm with you. There is some scuttlebutt about him being a return man.
Okay.
Or at least competing to potentially return punts. It feels like.
So the 49ers have their return man.
Maybe. It feels like whoever the fourth or fifth receivers are going to have to contribute on special teams.
Sure.
Maybe even the third, three through five. And it might be that they only have four active receivers on game day, and the third and fourth are definitely playing special teams.
Mm-hmm.
Which might make it tough for Robinson. But maybe Robinson's a guy they can, you know, veteran they can keep on the practice squad, et cetera, in case there's an injury, you can play him and not have to worry about him on special teams. But yeah, man, I'm with you. The Jordan Watkins pick was one of the weirder ones in recent memory, because when they drafted him, it was like, well, one of the things we really liked about him was how awesome he was in the gauntlet drill at the combine. And like, I don't ever remember a guy being drafted because he like stood out at the combine by the Niners. And like, that's
what was his gauntlet time?
I don't know what the time was, but the whole thing with the gauntlet. Okay. Yeah. It's, can you keep running straight, stay on the line, maintain your balance, make the catches without veering offline, right? Like, it's some indicator of focus and body control and hands and all of that stuff, which is fine. But the explanation that we got, it wasn't like, yeah, we just really loved his tape. You know, we got his tracking data, and he was way faster than you know, we got his tracking data from practice. This happens a lot. And this guy just plays really fast, but like, because of the role he was in at college, it wasn't really any of that with Jordan Watkins. Because you watch the Jordan Watkins college tape and you're like, okay, he seems like a decent college receiver. But to hear Kyle Shanahan be like, yeah, we just really liked what we saw in the gauntlet drill at the combine. It's like, what?
Love that.
That was like so odd. And particularly, they make some weird mid-round picks, but like, to take Jordan Watkins in the fourth round there was felt odd at the time, and it's been odd the whole time. And like the bit when he first gets mentioned, somebody asking, Kyle Shanahan answered a question in a press conference one time about opposing defensive coordinators having the game plan for Jordan Watkins, and I almost fell out of my chair.
Jordan Watkins not even active on game day.
That bit, it will be one of my favorite things ever. But yeah, man, I'm with you 100%. There's just a lot of numbers there, and unless Jordan Watkins is like an elite punt returner or something, I just don't know what his path is.
Yeah, it doesn't bode well that they could have badly used him last year. Yeah. And then this year they signed Mike Evans, and then they signed Christian Kirk, and they draft Dejon Stribling, and they already have Ricky Pearsall. Like, man, he's at like fifth on the depth chart at best going into camp. And he's probably sixth, because going into camp, he's probably behind DeMarcus Robinson. And that's just, I just, it feels like if he doesn't make massive strides this year to become the fourth receiver, like if he can't beat out Christian Kirk and DeMarcus Robinson, all right, that's probably it, man.
Yeah. He might be first or second on the gauntlet, though, if you were to take all the 49ers receivers and put them through the gauntlet drill.
I mean, number seven on the depth chart. Number one in our gauntlet drill. Whatever, man. What an interesting team. I'm excited for camp to start.
Yeah. When's the first practice?
July 26th. Sunday.
Oh, so this Sunday?
Sunday.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Yeah, buddy. All right. Gotta haul your ass down there.
Yeah, I might have to have some discussions and
just take the baby with you.
Hey. Hey, Corey?
little bucket hat. Get the what's that thing called? An ergo?
Yeah, the Bjorn.
You're all set. Yeah.
That would be a vibe, actually. Like reporting from training camp with the baby Bjorn on.
what can you not do that you need to do while wearing a baby?
Right.
Hey, you got to take some notes.
Hey, Peter Volmuth, is there a changing table in the porta potty over there?
I feel like your guys' bathroom situation at training camp is not accessible enough.
Do I need to talk to the Pro Football Writers Association of America about this?
honestly, for such a forward thinking organization, I'm pretty disappointed about how discriminatory this bathroom setup is.
Cannot believe you guys don't accommodate media people with infants. That's wild.
Oh, so just can't bring a baby to training camp anymore? Okay. Oh, good to know. No, it's good to know. We should have been warned.
That would be like the grindiest thing ever. The media person complaining, like, there's no changing table in the media bathroom. Like, what is this? You guys even have daycare options?
Good times. Man.
All right, Sunday. We'll see. We'll probably get eyes on the team at some point over the next week and report back. I envision this going. Yeah.
I mean, do you even have to go before pads come on?
It's not a bad idea just to like go get your bearings. Like, kind of it. I don't know if I say this every year, but I feel like because it happens, like people write up, you know, you go, I was a beat writer covering the team for almost a decade. Like, you write up a training camp practice and it's like, all right, 800 words, I got a lot of stuff. And then you get the inevitable people tweeting at you, like, how did Austin Pleasance look? And you're just like, I don't have any Austin Pleasance takes. I'm like trying to like see how many passes Brock Purdy's completing to these guys and like who's doing, you know, there's a giant field that's like 2.5 football fields and you're trying to like get eyes and you can only go to certain places. And it's like, it's not the easiest thing in the world to like have in your mind. Like, yeah, I got a full practice report on all 90 guys in my head. Like, I know how everyone did on a random Tuesday. So the reason why I say that from our perspective, it's good to go and get your bearings and like get the rhythm of practice and like see where each position is. So you can kind of like learn how to budget your time and where you can go, where you can't go, all of that stuff. Where's a good place to watch? And so that to me is the most useful stuff because in terms of like actually, you know, evaluating guys, it's pretty tough to like have any like real concrete takes without pads on.
Correct.
Football is played in pads. If you want to wear it.
No, it separates the men from the boys, as it were.
Yeah. So I would guess they would do what, 3 practices before the pads come on?
Yeah, I think it's 3 and then a day off and then pads, I think.
Yeah. So Sunday, so probably pads on Thursday. Sunday, sure. Monday, Tuesday, day off Wednesday, pads Thursday would be my guess.
I think it might be 2 days, day off.
Anyway, wait, this is not an interesting podcast. Point is, at some point over the next week.
People are locked in. They got the calendars out.
At some point over the next week, we will get eyes on these guys. We'll have boots on the ground. TBD on whether the baby makes it out to training camp.
Booties on the ground, TBD.
Well, she'll be in the Bjorn or just the stroller. Just like bring the stroller out to the practice field. That would be a super good idea. All right. Subscribe, rate, and review. So they like a lot of times they'll like cater the media. They'll bring food lunch for the media during training camp, which is great. And it's awesome. I was just thinking about complaining about like having your baby, like no formula. You guys got chicken and steak, but no formula. What is this?
No, zero soft foods.
Hey, can I get a puree? Just one puree.
Storming out of the media room. Fucking ridiculous. That's a good bit.
All right. Subscribe, rate, and review. We will talk to you guys later on this week with more training camp preview content. And see you soon.
Shout out our Roker.
That's our show for today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Candlestick Chronicles is produced and edited by Mike Robbie. If you're not already doing so, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@CandlestickChroniclesPodcast. Candlestick Chronicles is an Odyssey production.